Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
I'm Pastor Mike, and have the privilege to bring to you this morning's message. You know, I am a big superhero fan, and one of my favorite superheroes is Superman. You know, in the movie Superman Returns, it starts off with this very dramatic scene, and I want you just to imagine that you're there. It starts off with an airplane that's flying really high in the sky. Everything is fine and normal until the right engine goes out. And then the plane starts to descend rather quickly. Everyone starts screaming, everyone starts panicking. The pilots are desperately trying to do what they can to regain control, but to no avail. Then the other engine goes out. Now the plane is just screeching down toward the ground in a ball of smoke. And nobody can do anything to help, stop, to regain control. Crashing and death is the most certain outcome. The screaming and the tears continue loudly. But then there's this flash in the sky, and the plane begins to slowly slow down for no clear reason. It gets slower and slower, and it starts to level off, suddenly coming to a complete, steady, safe stop on the ground. They open the door to see Superman standing there. Superman saved them from a certain outcome. Without him, certain death. He is the savior to everyone on that plane. You know, church family, in a very real sense, all humanity is in a plane headed to a certain death because of sin. And there's no way out. No one can do anything to help, stop, or control the inevitable outcome of death. Our only hope of salvation is in Jesus. The only one who can do anything is Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we do just want to say thank you for this day. Thank you for this time that we can hear your word. God, may your words be mine. God, open our hearts and minds to hear what we need to hear today. Jesus, draw us closer to you. Help us to know you more and love your people more. Jesus, it's in your precious name we pray. Amen. So we are in our 40 days of prayer. We've been doing this for the last several years. Week one is Christ our Savior. To really understand our need for a Savior, we need to understand why we need a Savior in the first place. We need to understand sin. We need to understand the effects of sin. So we need to begin in the Garden of Eden. And here in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, we discover that there are two critical principles related to sin. So in the very beginning, we see God being transcendent and sovereign and personable and immanent and good. God, he displays his goodness by turning the nothing, also referred to as chaos, into something good, right? God created the heavens and the earth. And then to further display his goodness, he creates and he fills the earth with good things. And we know it's good because we read over and over and over that God saw that it was good. We see that in chapter 1, verse 4, verse 10, 12, 18, 21, and 25. God generously provides light and land and vegetation and animals, all for the blessing of man's behalf. And then man was God's most special and ordained, set apart creation. We see God further bless man with the abilities to know him personally, to work, to marry, to procreate. God places man in the middle of the garden to rule and to reign, and he gives him a helper. And then God establishes one rule, right? Don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So we see from the beginning, and here's principle number one, that sin is not something created or authored by God, but rather God creates a good universe and good human beings. Humans are created good, and they are blessed beyond measure, being made in the image of God and in an unhindered relationship with God and with freedom. The second principle that we see in Genesis 1 and 2 is the fact that sin is not original. It has not always existed. God's creation of the universe out of nothing, it proves, it reveals that he alone is independent, that he alone is absolute, that he alone is eternal. Everything else has been created. In other words, there was a time when there was no sin. In God's original design, there was no sin. It did not exist. So how did sin come about? Sin sadly came in Genesis chapter 3. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God's one rule. And from that moment on, sin and the fall occurred. They were deceived by the tempter, the serpent, who called into question God's faithfulness, who called into question God's sovereignty, who called into question God's goodness. And this fatal sequence, it unfolds rapidly. It says that Eve saw, took, ate, and gave, and it resolves with he ate. And in this action from Adam and Eve, new dark realities occurred and began, just as the good and truthful God had warned. And this rebellion, it brings divine justice and consequences that are very fitting and devastating. The couple, they feel shame for the first time. They realize they were naked. They sense and they feel their estrangement from God, and they try to hide from God. They also begin to feel their alienation from one another as Eve blames the serpent and then Adam blames Eve and even hints at blaming God. Next, we see God's response as pain and sorrow follow next. Pain in childbirth, working hard to grow food, banishment from Eden, away from God's glorious presence, and they experience death. They die spiritually, and then their bodies begin the gradual decaying process where we read in 3:19, you will return to dust. And then a far-reaching, devastating result and consequences of the fall of Adam and Eve is that the effects are passed on to all of their descendants forever and ever. What started out as good, a good God creating good things for good humans, also includes good relationships. They had good relationships with God. They had good relationships with themselves, good relationships with others, good relationships with creation. But then sin enters the picture, and it causes disruption. It disrupts every relationships. It disrupts their relationship with God. It disrupts their relationships with self. Disrupts their relationships with others. It disrupts relationships with creation. Church family, this is what sin does. Sin is a destroyer of what God originally intended. Romans 5, starting in verse 12, says, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. Yes, people sinned even before the law was given, but it was not counted as sin because there was not yet any law to break. Still, everyone died from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even those who did not disobey an explicit command of God as Adam did. Now, Adam is a symbol, a representation of Christ who was yet to come. So what do we know from sin? What do we know of sin? Let me give you a quick little list here. Number one, sin is fundamentally against God and a failure to live as the image of God. Okay, therefore, sin has to be defined as being against God. It is rebellion against God. It is breaking his commandment, his covenant. It is failing to live according to his will. It is exchanging God's glory for something less. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of what? The glory of God." Number two, sin entered the human experience in Adam's sin. Romans 5:12, we just read it. When Adam sinned, what happened? Sin entered the world, and Adam's sin brought death. Adam's sin not only resulted in his own punishment, but it also includes the consequences for and to all humanity moving forward. So death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. Number three, sin is universal. No one escapes it. No one escapes it. Because one person, Adam, disobeyed God, many became sinners. This includes anyone who came after Adam and Eve. That's us. And then anyone who comes after us. For all have sinned. There is sin for everyone. There's death for everyone. And there is condemnation for everyone. That's number four. Sin produces condemnation. For Adam's sin led to condemnation, Romans 5:16. Romans 5:18. Yes, Adam's sin brings condemnation to everyone. In God's eyes, we need to understand that all humanity is guilty. All humanity is doomed, lost, damned, sentenced to death. Number five, sin brings universal human death. As God spoke in Genesis 3:19, "By the sweat of your brow you will have food to eat until you return to the ground from which you were made. For you were made from dust, and dust you will return." So death enters human history through Adam, and it spreads like a virus to everyone, and no one escapes it. Physical death begins the moment that sin entered the world. We also see the relationship between God and people was severed as a consequence of sin. And thus, spiritual death occurs the moment that sin entered the world as well. Number six, sin brings universal corruption. Since sin is a part of every person, it's like a sickness that affects the whole person, affecting every aspect of life and in their environment. Sin, it will continue to grow and get wider and will impact everything about human life. It's going to affect your speech, our actions, our motivations, our attitude, our thinking, our reasoning, how we treat others, how we treat ourselves. It's going to impact everything. It's going to corrupt everything. Number seven, sin results in human suffering. As sin entered the world through Adam, so does its effects, which include suffering. There was no suffering in the garden. In God's original design, God is not the author of sin. He is not the author of suffering. Suffering is not a part of God's good creation, but it is a byproduct of sin. And number eight, sin creates shattered relationships at every level. At every level. We kind of already looked at this one, but a good God creates good things for good people. And God's original plan that included good relationships, right, with God, ourselves, others, creation. But then the moment that sin entered, all of those relationships were disrupted. All of them. All of these relationships are shattered because of sin. Church family, I know that talking about sin, it's not fun. But I hope you see that sin is serious. And I don't want you to ever think that your sin is no big deal. Because it is. It is what separates you from God. It is what affects all of your relationships. It's what affects you in your life right now, bringing corruption and bringing death. It is a big deal. And we have to talk about sin. Anyone who says sin is no big deal is a deceiver and a liar. Anyone who says, you know what, I'm saved by grace, therefore I can do whatever I want, is a deceiver and a liar. Anyone who ever says, you know what, hey, that's just a small little sin compared to those big sins out there, you're going to be fine. They're a deceiver and a liar. You need to know this, church family. And this is why you are on that plane. This is why both engines are out and you're falling through the sky, you're about to crash, and you're about to die. This is what sin does. This is what sin does. But there is good news in all of this. Because we have Jesus. We have Jesus. Look at Romans 5, starting in verse 15 now. But there is a difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many, but even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation, but God's free gift leads to are being made right with God, even though we are guilty of many sins. For the sins of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone. But Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and new life for everyone. Yeah. Because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because one person obeyed God, many will be made righteous. God's law was given so that the people could see how sinful they were. But as people sinned more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. So just as sin ruled over people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful grace rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. As you are on that plane that's out of control, that's heading for death, about to crash down, don't you see that it's Jesus? Jesus is the one who comes in, who steadies that plane, who lands it safely. God has given us a way to be saved, a gracious gift, wonderful grace, gift of forgiveness. Romans 5:16, God's free gift leads to our being made right with God, even though we are guilty of many sins. God sent Jesus to mend the brokenness between God and man. As sin brought eternal death, you know what Jesus brings? Eternal life. Eternal life. That he is the one who paid the price for our sins. And what was that price? Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is what? Death. It's death. The payment, the reward of sin is death. But Jesus paid it. So you wouldn't have to. He died in your place. So that if you repent of your sins, like if you recognize your sins for what they are, if you recognize the reality of your sin, the consequences of your sin, if you recognize the cost of your sin, when you do that, when you turn from sin and you turn to Jesus, death is defeated. Eternal life is yours. Salvation is yours. Now, do we still have and live in the effects of sin? Yeah, we do. Sin still affects us. It affects our thinking, our behavior, our motivations. It still affects our relationships with others. So that is why the continued process of being like Jesus, it's so important. That's why our sanctification is so important. We still live in sin. And church, we need to keep saying no to sin and no to its temptations. And we need to keep saying yes to Jesus. Yes to the Jesus way, the Jesus life. Keep saying yes to what you read in the Word. And then in the Word, it says one day that Jesus is going to return. And all of the effects of sin will be wiped away. Gone forever. Can you imagine that? Imagine that glorious day when sin is no more and we're in the presence of the glorious one. Jesus is our Savior. Colossians 1, 3 through 14. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Church family, do you know Jesus as your Savior? If not, repent of your sins and trust in him. If yes, then what you need to do is praise God and give him the thanks for accomplishing what you could not accomplish for yourself. So since this is the 40 days of prayer, we're not done yet. I want to give you a little bit of time just to reflect and a little bit of time to pray. So I have some prayer prompts on the screen. The first one is you're going to see a question. I want to give you something to think about, and then I want to give you some time to pray. So for prompt number one, I want you to think about this. How has sin left you feeling powerless, afraid, and in need of a Savior? So take some time to reflect. And then when you're ready, pray something along the lines of that prayer up there or whatever you need to pray. But then pray, Lord, reveal the way sin has taken root in my heart and life. Help me see my sins as you see it, not minimized or ignored, and lead me to honest confession. So take a minute, reflect on the question, and spend some time praying. Prayer prompt number two, reflection question is this. Which relationship in your life, think about your relationship with God, yourself, others, or creation, have been most affected by sin? Think about what healing or restoration do you need to invite Jesus into? And then there's an example of a prayer up there as well if you want to pray that. But take a minute to reflect and spend some time talking to Jesus. Prayer prompt number 3. I want you to think about this. What does it personally mean to you that Jesus stepped in to save you when you could not save yourself? So what does it personally mean to you that Jesus stepped in to save you when you could not save yourself? Prompt number 4. As someone who still lives in a broken world, what is one area where you need to keep saying no to sin and yes to Jesus' transforming work? So reflect and spend some time praying. The last prayer prompt, as the praise team can make their way forward, is I want you to think about what relationships do you have where that person really needs to hear this message today, that they need to know about their sin, and they need to know about the Savior Jesus. So reflect, and then spend some time praying.